Good evening. Welcome to tonight's meeting of Bethlehem City Council for Tuesday, December 15th, 2020 at 7:01 p.m. Would all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all. If the clerk would please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan.
Present.
Mr. Cologne.
Present.
Mr. Ramsey Smith.
Present.
Ms. Negron.
Presente.
Mr. Rounds.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert. Mr. Waldron.
Present. And Dr. Van Wert is with us. Your audio had cut out there for a moment, so I just wanted to make sure that everyone knew all members of the council are here. We're also joined by the mayor, business administrator, Mr. Evans, director of finance, Mr. Sivak, and our controller, Mr. Yasso, in the room this evening. This is our last city council meeting for the year 2020, and this evening, in addition to our normal agenda in front of us, we will be considering for final vote the 2021 budget presented by the administration. First, at this point, we'll move to public comment on any subject not being voted on this evening with a 5-minute time limit. And if you're joining this meeting not quite right at 7 p.m. this evening, I remind you to make sure that you're fast-forwarding ahead to make sure you're having a live to the second view of the meeting in order to hit the window when I open it up to public comment. But first, we'll work through the names of people who have previously emailed the clerk and signed up to make comment this evening. We have 9 names on this list for first comment. The first would be Joseph Chapman, and I'll call out an order of those names, and after that we'll open it up to others who'd like to call in. Hello, this is Bethlehem City Council calling. I'm looking for Joseph.
Oh, yes, hold on one moment, please.
This is Bethlehem City Council.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, if you could please give your name and address for the record and proceed with your comments to council.
Okay, my name is Joe Chapman. It's 2742 Claremont Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, 80017. And the reason I was contacting you was in regards to flooding in our yard and house. Coming from the adjoining properties, in particular East Hills Moravian Church and Governor Wolf School. Anthony Musa was out at the properties and sent a letter to East Hills Moravian Church to have some adjustment made to their properties to stop this flooding. This was back in September, and I'm looking for the progress of this action. If anything has been done or can be done.
I don't have an answer for you this evening, Mr. Chapman. This is something that the administration, specifically the Public Works Department, would have to handle. So,
well, I contacted him and he said he couldn't tell me anything. So that's why I'm in contact with City Council. Order issue has been going on a number of years. I've had some adjustments made to our house, putting drains in the yard, etc. And it all stopped, I'd say. And then with the last storm, we had one more issue of flooding, which was in September, I think.
I can understand the frustration of that situation, and I would hope that someone from the administration might be able to give you some more information about what could be done in order to help mitigate that. So the mayor is with us this evening, and I think he's taking your information down, and hopefully he can get in touch with somebody in his public works department who can maybe help give you a little more information about what might be a process to resolve your situation.
Mr. President.
Okay, so I should be hearing from somebody in the city by in the next week or two?
I can't say that. Council doesn't have the ability to dictate that anyone from the city reach out to you, but I'd hope they would, and I would encourage them to do so.
Okay, well, if not, I guess you'll hear back from me in sometime in January then.
Thank you, Mr. Chapman. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Bye.
The next name on our list is Lynn Rothman.
Hello,
Ms. Rothman. It's Bethlehem City Council.
Hello, President Waldron. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes. Okay. Well, good evening. My name is Lynn Rothman, 870 Wofford Lane, Bethlehem. I'm speaking tonight on behalf of the Bethlehem Environmental Advisory Council, or EAC. And in accordance with our bylaws, each year we submit a year-end report to City Council, which I'll summarize this evening. In April, we moved our meetings from Ellis Mill to a virtual platform, and will continue to do so until it's safe to meet. In accordance with the Sunshine Law, our virtual meetings are open to the public over Zoom. Letters we sent in March, the letters we sent during the year include in March a recommendation to the Director of Planning and Zoning that the property at 2105 Creek Road retain its RR designation because it's located in the Saucon Creek floodplain. In March, a recommendation that the city pass an ordinance banning single-use plastic bags that would have taken effect in July and thus been grandfathered in before the state budget was passed. In June, we supported the city's WalkWorks grant application for the creation of an active transportation plan focused on the Broad Street corridor. In July, we recommended creating an Office of Sustainability to oversee and implement the Climate Action Plan, or CAP. This office would engage and partner with the public, collaborate with all city departments, and work with the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission to provide coordinated climate action. Because climate action is ongoing, the Sustainability Office would often monitor actions from the Climate Action Plan and update the plan, incorporating the latest climate science and technology. In November, we sent a letter supporting the pedestrian bridge feasibility study. During the year, events and activities included the very first EAC network meeting for all Lehigh Valley EACs, and it was coordinated by the Bethlehem, Allentown, and Easton EACs. The meeting was held on March 11th at Ellis Mill. There was a strong turnout, and each EAC shared ideas for possible collaboration. In May, one of our members was a panelist at the virtual 2020 Pennsylvania EAC Network Conference. And in partnership with the Monocacy Creek Watershed Association, we held successful Monocacy Creek cleanups in August and October with the help of additional volunteers from outside our two groups. In August, we tabled at the Rose Garden Farmers Market and handed out information about the upcoming CAP public meeting, along with EAC flyers about sustainability. We've met with the city forester, David Schaefer, to discuss the citywide street tree inventory, which will be completed this month. Several of our members also joined Mr. Schaefer in an online tree tenders course given by Penn State Extension. Two of our members mentored high school students who prepared environmental essays for the Touchtone Theater's Festival Unbound. Because the city was no longer able to host the EAC on their new website, in February, we launched a separate Bethlehem EAC website. We've continued to maintain our Facebook page with increasing numbers of followers. Speakers at our meeting this year included Catherine Target Gross, the Sustainability Officer at Lehigh University, and Kathy Fox and Joe Klinkoff from the Bethlehem Food Co-op. Bethlehem Backyards for Wildlife, an active standing committee of the EAC with a dedicated group of volunteers, will give their report following this one. Our most important work this year has been supporting the city's climate action plan being written by the consulting firm WSP. EAC members are part of the climate action plan stakeholder working group, as well as the mitigation subgroups for land use and green space, transportation, food waste and product sourcing, electricity sourcing, and education and behavior change. Once the cap is finalized, we'll continue to assist with its implementation. Our appreciation goes to Robert Bedoni, City Clerk, and Judy Kelechava, Assistant City Clerk, for responding to our requests and questions, placing meeting notices in the newspaper, and facilitating communication between the EAC, City Council, and the administration. We recognize and appreciate our City Council liaison, J. William Reynolds, for his assistance, attendance at our meeting, initiative, and continued efforts to bring Climate Action Plan to fruition. We also acknowledge and thank Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, Matt Dorner, Deputy Director of Public Works, and Darlene Heller, Director of Planning and Zoning, for their ongoing contributions to the CAP. Thanks also to Michael Hausforster, Director of Recycling, for his assistance to our Waste Reduction Committee. We commend City Council and the administration for their support of the Climate Action Plan and their initiative to make Bethlehem a greener city. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for your comments, Ms. Rothman. Our next caller will be Jane Cook.
Jane Cook.
Good evening. This is Bethlehem City Council.
Yes. Hi. Thank you for calling. My name is Jane Cook. My address is 208 West Langhorne Avenue in Bethlehem, and I am on the committee of the Bethlehem Backyards for Wildlife. Our mission is to work with the City of Bethlehem to support biodiversity and to minimize negative environmental impacts by encouraging city residents, schools, businesses, and other organizations to use wildlife-friendly and sustainable garden practices. Bethlehem is a National Wildlife Federation community wildlife habitat that was registered in 2009 and certified in 2012. And each year we have been able to recertify, with the exception of this year due to the pandemic. But even so, there are more than 250 Bethlehem residences that are currently registered as National Wildlife Federation habitats. Some schools that are involved include Calypso, Buchanan's, East Hills, Freedom, and Lehigh University. Some public spaces that are certified include the Meadow on the Greenway, the Arts Quest Butterfly Garden, the Miller's House Garden, and the Illis Mill Native Garden. Parks include Friendship Park, the Sand Island Children's Garden, Bethlehem Sculpture Garden, the Bethlehem Public Library Garden, and the Illis Mill Nature Area and Trail, along with Saucon Park. The native plant demonstration gardens that are maintained by the committee include the Meadow on the Greenway, the Hoover Mason Trestle, and the Rose Garden Pollinator Garden along 8th Avenue. The highlights from 2020 included our assisting the city forester with planting of the Arbor Day tree plantings along the Southside Greenway. We maintained by irrigating and weeding the two new native perennial gardens on 8th Avenue that we designed and planted in 2019, and they are continuing to thrive. We assisted with clearing out the overgrown weeds in the established rose garden beds that had not been maintained for several years, but the good news is that that area is in process of being renovated. We also continued to work with the city and with the Mount Airy Neighborhood Association to develop plans for using a $210,000 DCNR matching grant for improvements to the Rose Garden Park, and that was a process that was begun in 2019. We met with the Southside Initiative Garden developers to assist with their creating a community vegetable garden area along the Southside Greenway next to the Lehigh University Green Meadow Native Perennial Garden. In 2020, with the COVID-19 pandemic restrictions, the beginning of February, the city closed all access to the Hoover Mason trestle, which prevented us from doing any debris removal or weeding or pruning during the early spring months. We were granted permission to go do those activities in late May, but on a limited basis and with no public volunteers allowed to participate. So this late start and limited number of people who were allowed to work on the spring maintenance really did create a setback for those 11 beds to be properly maintained, but we did the best possible work within the limitations that were set. We continued the weeding and pruning, mulching, path maintenance, and litter removal on the other various city gardens while meeting mandated restrictions through the late summer. We are hopeful that we'll be able to continue this type of work and include more volunteers next spring and next summer. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Ms. Cook.
You're welcome.
Next caller will be James Jordan.
Hello.
Hello, this is Bethlehem City Council calling.
Yes, hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hello, if you could give your name and address for the record and give your comments with a 5-minute time limit to council, please.
Sure, my name is James Jordan. I live at 742 7th Avenue, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and I'm calling on behalf of Touchstone Theater, where I am the artistic director. And so I'm calling about the prompted by Councilwoman Negron about the kind of an ongoing issue here that prevented Touchstone from doing some of its initiatives that we've wanted to do. Not so much initiatives, we've always, you know, as the previously mentioned in tonight's meeting, Festival Unbound, we do a lot of work with the community. And sometimes we want to have kind of a party atmosphere with that. And we've applied for permits through the parks. And we're always met with this, well, if you're going to have alcohol on city ground, you need to have police presence. And so we're talking about events that are going to have somewhere between 150 to 400 people there. And so the idea that having to spend X amount of money for X amount of cops becomes very cost prohibitive for us. And so we just don't do those events, or we tailor them in some other way. If you're familiar with Touchstone, we have the Parham Park right next door to Touchstone. And so what we do, what we'd like to do, is to be able to not only use our parking lot, but Parham Park in these instances, and but we're unable to do that with the city without having to have these police officers there. So the problem with this is we often offer free programming. It's part of Touchstone's mission to make sure that everybody's voice is heard throughout the community. And so when this happens, we're unable to kind of have a larger, kind of more looser, like I would describe it as even a block party atmosphere. And so this idea that if we're on our property and there's X amount of people there, or if we go over, if we talk to the city and we go over into the park, then all of a sudden we need to have police officers there. It becomes cost prohibitive for us. It's actually affected us in the fact that we've not run events in like the way we wanted to run them. And so I'm calling on behalf of recommending that this is looked at in a deeper way. I suggest maybe there's a threshold that could be, maybe it's like, look, if you have over 500 people or something like that, then yeah, like you need to have a police officer there. And there's some sort of common sense practice. But I don't think it's just like, I don't believe that common sense practice begins that if you're going to have an event that has alcohol at it, then you need to have a police officer present. But being a Touchstone, we've had the opportunity to travel around the world and go to different, you know, festivals and programs, and it seems in some sense that we're dealing with a cultural issue here, that in some way too, where if you go to, you know, all around the world, there's plenty of places that you're just allowed to have drinks in public. It's not demonized. If we as a community have an unhealthy relationship with alcohol, then that needs to be looked at in another way. But the minute you make it a sin, then like it becomes a sin, and it's not being dealt with in a healthy way. And so I wouldn't suggest that this is a sin tax on not-for-profits for wanting to have alcohol at their events, but it's affecting them as if it is. And so, in short, I just, again, I'm calling to say that this should be looked at, and I'd be happy to even, I think maybe another option would be to bring a group of non-for-profits and policymakers together from the city to actually discuss how this is what this is doing to them, and affecting their ability to run events in a certain way. I think that's all I want to say.
All right. Well, thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Have a good evening. Our next caller will be Anna Smith.
Hello.
Good evening. This is Bethlehem City Council.
Good evening. My name is Anna Smith, and I live at 631 Ridge Street in South Bethlehem. I'm calling because I'd like to thank the members of council this evening who took the time to attend the Community Development Committee meeting in October to hear from residents and other South Bethlehem stakeholders about their support for the regulation of student housing in our city. In addition to the over 20 people who spoke at the meeting, over 100 additional stakeholders signed their names to a letter in support of the zoning overlay. Tonight, you finally have the opportunity to take action to protect and preserve Southside neighborhoods for everyone, for families, renters, homeowners, boarding house and group home residents, and yes, students too. Why is this so important? You've heard from a lot of us, and we've given a lot of reasons. Preserve affordable home ownership and rental opportunities, protect quality of life, encourage Lehigh students to live closer to campus to reduce the number of cars brought to campus, encourage students to live in or near the business district so they can easily patronize locally owned businesses, restrict haphazard development on steep slopes, reduce evictions and displacement of longtime residents when properties are converted to student housing, concentrate student housing in neighborhoods where it already dominates, making it easier for colleges and universities to keep tabs on issues of safety and social life. Now, if those aren't enough reasons, I'd like to contextualize this policy change from my personal perspective this evening. I want to talk to you as someone who loves everything about South Bethlehem and who has spent the majority of my life living and working on its streets. I moved back here after 8 years away and decided to invest in the neighborhood that made me who I am, much in the way that my parents decided to invest in the Southside 33 years ago when they first moved here. Not because of ArtsQuest or the Southside Arts District or Lehigh, although those are all important aspects of our neighborhood's character that make the Southside a great place to live. I moved back here because I want to raise my Latina daughter in a neighborhood where she won't be the only kid speaking Spanish and where she'll hear Spanish on the street just as often as she'll hear English. I invested in my neighborhood because I want my daughter to grow up like I did, with friends and neighbors of all racial and ethnic backgrounds and all socioeconomic levels. I came back because I believe in our public schools and I want my daughter to be able to walk to Dunnigan Elementary in a few years. I moved back because I want to live within a 5-minute walk of a playground, a pool, and the greenway, restaurants, mini markets, and the woods. I moved back because South Bethlehem represents the best of what it means to live in a true community. Sure, we have some challenges like any community, but we have so much to be proud of. And it is so important for our elected officials to understand that. Not just at a surface level, or based on their own experiences on the South Side as outsiders, or from conversations with representatives of institutions. We need our elected officials and their staff to make an effort to listen and spend time with residents of all backgrounds that make up the vibrant, dynamic community at work in our South Side neighborhood. To walk around like I do and chat with my next door neighbor, a single grandma who gives my daughter a little present for every holiday, and the young Puerto Rican couple with twins next door who always offer us food from the barbecue. The young married couple of women with the pit bulls who hang out on their porch every evening with their next door neighbors, or a black family with kids who race their scooters in front of my house and always ask to pet my dog when we walk by. The older white man with a disabled son who always keeps the front of his house impeccably maintained and watches over the rest of the street. The immigrant family who just moved into a rental home this year but have already shown us all up with their holiday decorations for every holiday and weeks in advance. This is what my ideal neighborhood looks like and where I chose to invest. We need you to understand why this is worth protecting and thinking about, not just today, but each time you are asked to consider a policy change that will impact us. The neighborhoods of the South Side have always had a certain reputation, and most of us who live here have rarely had a say in decisions that are made about it. We don't have many elected representatives or appointed ones who live on our streets, and we often assume that no one from the other side of town cares about our neighborhood. But things are changing, and folks from outside the South Side are now paying attention. New folks want to move here to live or open businesses. Developers want to build, and others see opportunities to make a profit. And I want to be clear, I appreciate the energy and the fact that folks are getting excited about the neighborhoods that I love so much. But we can't forget what is attracting these folks in the first place. The essential character of our community that has been here for a lot longer than I have. And we owe that to the people who define these neighborhoods, who have invested their time and livelihoods into these streets and their homes, who send their kids to local schools, who watch over neighborhood parks and walk the greenway to work every day. The families who opened businesses decades ago in a different economic climate and who have won the love and support of generations of residents. Please remember them. As our South Side evolves into the future, we need to plan for the long term and be proactive, lest we risk losing the very heart of our community and what makes it truly unique and irreplaceable. I'm speaking tonight because I think that the policy change you are considering this evening is the product of that very type of consideration that I just mentioned. The mayor and his administration have listened, truly listened, and committed themselves to a long, exceedingly thorough process to proactively protect and preserve the essential character of our diverse neighborhood. They understand why this is important for the future of our South Side as a whole, how strong neighborhoods are a necessary condition for a viable city. And you've listened. You've attended meetings, read emails, talked with residents, and informed yourselves about the issues. This is perhaps the most thorough, well-informed proposal that I've seen this current administration put forward, and I'm proud to have been a part of the coalition that consulted with the administration over the last several years as the policy was developed. Tonight, you finally have a chance to stand with the residents of South Bethlehem who have implored you to act for so many years now. Please vote to cut off all new authorizations of student housing development outside the student housing overlay as of December 31st. Our neighborhoods depend on it. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker will be Mary Toulouse. Good evening, this is Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, good evening. This is Mary Toulouse. I live at 1528 West Market Street, and I thank you for taking my call. I'm calling tonight about the city administration's policy for organizations to hire police when they're selling alcohol on city property or in city parks. I understand that City Park has a different designation than just city property, and I have particularly thinking about city parks. And I understand that this policy is under review, which is why I'm calling. I believe there are two issues here: the policy related to a vendor selling alcohol for at-home consumption, or as well a second issue where alcohol is being sold in open containers to patrons. So related to the first issue, as one of the managers of the Rose Garden Farmers Market, I did request permission to allow a vendor to sell beer for at-home consumption at our market. I'm sure that several of you may remember this, because I probably called at least half of you to whine about the fact that every other farmers market on public property in the Lehigh Valley was able to have a wine or a beer vendor. And why couldn't we have it at our farmers market in the Rose Garden? And eventually, we did get over this hurdle, and we were allowed
to have a little wine over a beer vendor. However, the question came up of we would have to have a policeman come and supervise us at $50 an hour for 4 hours of every market. This would have cost us $200 a day for over 20 weeks. So it would have been about $2,000 just for a small community neighborhood market, a market that is run by a nonprofit organization, and it was something we could never afford. So this also seemed completely unnecessary, given the fact that the vendor who was going to come to Ware Market and sell beer was Bagley's Brew Works, a neighboring business on Main Street in Bethlehem with a PA liquor license and trained staff, and they were only going to be selling 4 packs of beer to be consumed at home, along with food products sold by the other vendors at the market. So after a lot of time, took a lot of time on my part, took a lot of time of council members, took a lot of time of the city administrators, we got a pass on this policy, and we were not required to have a police presence. But somehow it seems logical to me for a small group, which over the course of one market, which sees maybe 400, maybe 500 people a day maximum, it doesn't seem logical that we would have to do this every year, nor other groups similar to us would be in the same situation. And I would also like to note that we always have a market manager, and we have always had a market manager at every single of our markets, and none of us ever saw anyone drinking beer that had been purchased from our market in the pump. So I'm not exactly sure why we would ever have to have take the time of a policeman like that. I do want to say one other thing about this, and that when we did get permission to have, or not to be required to have, a special police officer, we were also told that we better watch out because the police would be scrutinizing us and we'd be in big trouble. Now, that's not the exact wording. I suppose I could go back and look through my old communications board. But the message was the same, and it was a threatening message. And I ask you, in this day and age, when we're trying to improve police and citizen relations, is this really the kind of language that we want to be using when we're talking about our police officers? What image does this convey, that we're supposed to be afraid of them when actually they're just there to, if they were to be there, to remind us of what our laws are? And you might remember, maybe not, because you had a lot of feedback from folks in the community, but in June, when council was first discussing better community interactions with the police, our Mount Airy Neighborhood Association had voted at its quarterly meeting. There might have been 30, 40 people there. And we sent a letter to the city endorsing a return of community police officers. In the past, years ago, we had a community police officer on the west side of Bethlehem. And the neighbors still talk about it and still miss them. And the new neighbors, who didn't know these community police officers, endorsed the idea. We would love to have the police stop by any of our events, even our farmers market where we're selling beer. and as part of their beat. This is an opportunity for them to get to know the neighbors and let the neighbors get to know them. And just going back to the second issue, which is open containers.
Ms. Deluce, if you could wrap up your comments briefly. We're at 7 minutes on a 5-minute time limit. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. So I would just say that through small community events with, you know, $300-$400 people, there's no point in the city micromanaging it. I would suggest setting up guidelines and for local nonprofit sponsors of these events, asking them to require have a designated vet, bartender, something like that, and even keep a list of the community events for the police department, so if they have time on their beat, that they could come by and meet the folks who are there. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Caratola?
Hello?
Good evening, this is Bethel City Council.
Hi, how you doing?
Well, if you could give your name and address for the record and proceed with your comments, and please keep in mind we have a 5-minute time limit. Thank you.
Okay, I'm Arthur Caratola of 813 Lawford Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I got a question to ask. A few of you who are here tonight, well, the few of you that are here tonight, I guess, are all of you in any way, in any religion that is not of a Christian nature? I didn't think so. I believe that most of the people here in Bethlehem are Christians, and most people in the United States are the majority. But anyway, if you are a true Christian, as I believe that you are, you should be on the same page with me, so that what I'm about to say, and be with me 100%. We who are Catholic, did we ever think or care about our priest having cold or flu as we kneel face to face to him in a confessional? As we confessed our sins, did we ever care about flus or viruses or germs upon our priests or ministers giving us communion? Were we concerned if he washed his hands or if he was wearing gloves? If we were of other Christian faiths, did we care about a quantity of people laying hands on us and praying over us a foot or two away from our faces as they're spitting upon us, as they're speaking in the tongues of God's Holy Spirit? No. And where are we now? Is this COVID thing bigger and stronger than God? The governor says, close most businesses down, especially churches, so people cannot celebrate the birth of Christ at Christmas time in the United States. It's beautiful. Let's eliminate church and state once and for all and show people that God has no power. This COVID monster is greater than God. We don't need God. We need the power of the state. Government control, martial law, new world order, communism, socialist society. Most of the governors of the U.S. have well overstepped their bounds. The citizens of the Christmas city twice named the city after Christ. First, they called it Bethlehem, named after the city that Christ was born. Then named it the Christmas city, again, named after Christ. We need and should, of all cities in the state of Pennsylvania, stand strong and proud and not agree to have our city closed down for Christmas. Enforcing social distancing and wearing masks and taking supplements to boost our immune system is one thing, but to shut down the United States of America for Christmas is sacrilegious and communistic. I, plus many other military veterans who gave our all for our country and gave a large part of our lives, and many of our brothers gave their lives for our In God We Trust country, do not feel right about this at all. Our country's becoming no longer one nation under God. It's becoming one nation under gold. A lot of greed going on here. This power shutdown could have taken place weeks ago and should have not waited to be for around for Christmas holidays. They could wait till after Christmas. For the love of God, I hope that you're all with me on this. We need to be an example and put our foot down and say, sorry, Governor Wolf, we will not shut down the city of Bethlehem for Christmas. We will close the city down for 3 weeks after Christmas, not before, starting on January 4th, if you wish, until January 25th. Until January 4th, we will leave all businesses open, especially churches, restaurants, and we will fully celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Anything short of this is taking away our freedom of religion and is an abomination of God, stating that this so-called virus is more powerful than God. I strongly believe that if we go along with our governor's wishes to shut down rather than mask up, we will place a curse on our Christmas city and above all, our entire United States of America. Many of us say, mask up, not shut down, and purchase supplements to boost your immune system. Brothers and sisters of City Council, I hope and pray that you have the power to make this right. Have a Merry Christmas and God bless and stay safe and stay healthy, but we need to mask up, not shut down. God bless you. Have a good night.
Good night. Next caller will be Christopher Shore.
Hello?
Hello, this is Bethlehem City Council.
Ah, terrific. Thank you very much for calling.
Hello, if you could give your name and address for the record and proceed with your comments to council with a 5-minute time limit. Mr. Shore, are you still with us?
Hi, this is Christopher Shore. Leave me a message.
Our next caller will be Rachel Griffin.
Hello.
Good evening. This is Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, my name is Rachel Griffith. I reside at 774 Barrymore Lane in Bethlehem. I am calling as a concern, one, as a downtown Bethlehem business owner, I own the Apollo Grill and located at 85 West Broad Street. I'm calling in support of the relaxation of the open container laws that will be being brought to City Council attention very soon. Our downtown businesses are drowning, as I'm sure you guys are all well aware. Anything that can be done on the City of Bethlehem's part to help us, to rescue us from what is happening to our city, would be greatly appreciated. The restaurants are really, really suffering, and obviously the stores are, you know, suffering as well. Especially with being the holiday season, I believe that relaxation of the open container laws that are in place in Bethlehem would help us significantly. People could come in, have a cocktail to go, walk into a store and purchase something. Downtown Bethlehem is comprised of local small businesses. We're the first ones that will take our paychecks away. so we can pay our employees, where big companies would lay people off right away. You know, we're the ones that are washing our windows rather than hiring a company to do it. We're the ones sweeping our sidewalks and things like that. So I am just calling in with support that hopefully you all see that downtown Bethlehem businesses need your support in any which way that you can do it. And maybe this will make a huge difference, but it will definitely impact a business that is suffering so much right now. I guarantee you, in summer 2021, not every single business in downtown that's there right now will be there. So anything our city council and our city of Bethlehem, as you represent us, can do for us, please, we are begging you. We are asking for your help. And I believe one of the ways that you can do this is by passing and allowing the relaxation of open container law. So thank you so much for hearing me out. I do appreciate it.
Thank you for your comments.
All right, take care.
Good night. I'll give Mr. Shore another opportunity.
Hi, this is Christopher Shore. Leave me a message.
At this point, we'll open up the line for anyone who'd like to make comment to City Council this evening on any subject not being voted on, with a 5-minute time limit. The number to do so is 610. Good evening, Bethlehem City Council.
Hi there, this is Christopher Shore. I was trying to connect with you guys earlier for the public comment period, and I had a phone problem.
Sure, if you could give your address for the record and proceed with your comments to council with a 5-minute time limit, thank you.
Yes, Christopher Shore, 1010 North New Street here in Bethlehem. Thanks for the opportunity, and I apologize for the phone problem before. Like Mr. Jordan and Ms. Toulouse, who commented earlier, I'm interested in the policy of requiring organizations to pay police to be at events in which alcohol is sold on public property. I'm a professor at Moravian College, and I also work with Touchstone Theater. In addition to my experience as an educator and an artist, prior to coming to Bethlehem, I worked with economic development and city arts councils. Much of this experience has involved strategic planning to incentivize charitable arts organizations to do the much-needed work of lifting communities up economically and socially. It is the economics of the policy of requiring organizations to pay for police presence that I wish to address. We can imagine a scenario of, say, a concert promoter setting up a large-scale outdoor concert event with a couple thousand people, where the profit margin might be in the tens of thousands of dollars. They are selling alcohol in order to make a profit. Paying the police a few hundred dollars is the cost of doing business. It makes economic sense to the promoter. And if they want to make their profit, they'll jump the necessary hurdles. Their goal is to walk away with money in their pocket. Unlike that scenario, when a charitable organization sells alcohol, they're not doing it to make a profit. They're doing it to fund their charitable purpose, which is in the interest of the community. They're working for the public good. That work is a gold mine for city government because the return in positive community impact comes with very little investment. It is in the community's interest for the city to incentivize charitable activity. Removing barriers to that activity is a great start. We can imagine an ideal world where the charitable work of an organization is made possible entirely by charitable giving. The city wants an arts organization to run a community festival because it sees the benefit for the community. It gives them the $200,000 it needs to do it, and they run the community festival. Everyone wins. Or the community wants the festival and itself has the money. The people in the community donate the money and the festival happens. Again, everyone wins. Unfortunately, neither our city government nor our community has the means to provide this support entirely through charitable giving. So the burden shifts to the organization to earn the money it needs to pursue its charitable goals. And it finds a variety of ways to earn that money. This brings us to the math portion of my comments. Nobody said there was going to be math. Remember word problems? Here you go. If a charitable organization runs an event with, say, 400 attendees, and half of them buy an alcoholic beverage, and the organization makes a profit of $3 on each drink, how much does that organization make? They make a total of $600. That's the scale of what we're talking about. Given the work that goes into holding the event, that is not a lot of money. If they have to pay $100, $200, $300 for police, that is not the cost of doing business. It's 16, 33, or 50% of the revenue. Revenue that they are struggling to make for the strict purpose of benefiting the residents of the city of Bethlehem. So I urge the council to consider two things. First, waive this fee for charitable organizations. It is a burden, and it discourages activity that only exists to benefit the community. Second, look for more ways to encourage the activity of these organizations. Clear obstacles from their path. Make it easy rather than difficult to do the charitable work that is already such an uphill battle. We're on the same side, fighting for the same things. We want to make Bethlehem as strong and vibrant as it can possibly be and overcome the challenges our community faces. Help charitable organizations. Help the city in this mutual effort. I appreciate the council's time, and I thank you for your consideration.
Thank you for your comments. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, yes, this is William Mondello, president of FOP Star Lodge number 20.
Good evening.
I just wanted to take an opportunity to speak to council and the public about a few things. First of all, I'd like to invite council members to come visit our headquarters. I can show you where we recently had our asbestos removal while officers were actively working. And the entire detective bureau still needs asbestos removal, but we currently have nowhere to put our detectives. So I'd ask for council's permission to have an air quality test performed, and the FOP will pay for it. It's our treat. And I will bet you all the campaign funds that you can raise that the test will be positive for toxic mold, because it was last year. And did you know that 2 months ago there was a movie filmed in our cell block? And not because it's aesthetically pleasing, but because it's a period piece and they needed a cell block that looked like it was from the 70s. They needed a cell block that looked like it was 50 years old, so they came to our headquarters. So while I'm not going to make demands and scream at President Waldron, if you could please keep the infrastructure of the Bethlehem Police Department in mind for some time in the future, it would be appreciated. Secondly, I'd like to explain the importance of compensating police officers. It is the officers who make your department great, definitely not the building. But the future of this department lies in the officers who are yet to be hired. We need to attract, hire, and retain the best candidates out there. There's a finite amount of top-tier quality officers out there with 50 departments to choose from in the greater Lehigh Valley. Bethlehem police officers are already paid less than Allentown, Bethlehem Township, State Police, and many, many more. I believe our contract study put us at 7 or 8 out of 10 local departments. So I ask you, why would top-tier recruits choose Bethlehem? If you want a professional police department, you have to be attractive to candidates. And with regards to our pension, I think it's important that the public know we don't get Social Security. That's the way that the city set it up, and our police do pay into the pension. Also, 10 years ago, the FOP and the city agreed to cut police pensions for new officers. I don't think these facts were mentioned, but I think they should have been. Now, I know there are a small group of individuals who for some reason, take issue with our department. And I'm speaking about Professor Helena Oakes and the stand-up Lehigh Valley folks. And I understand she and the Lehigh University core researchers presenting themselves as experts in policing, but I've read the information that they sent to council, and honestly, it's embarrassing. Professor Oakes right away states that policing was formed as a result of slave patrols, yet if you read her citation, it clearly says in the South. The citation correctly states that Northern Police Department came from English Metropolitan Police. So right off the bat, the Lehigh University core team is knowingly misrepresenting information to council. Now, I don't have time to touch on all their mistakes, but I picked out a few favorites. The core team believes that use of force should never be authorized for juveniles. Only 8 times was use of force used against juveniles last year, and I was actually one of the officers. A call came in for four males drifting to a vehicle, and we were able to find them on city cameras in real time. And I arrived on scene, and wouldn't you know, they ran even though I asked them not to. I was able to tackle the one closest to me. Turned out to be a 15-year-old male with a stolen 45 caliber handgun in his waistband. We took another stolen handgun off of one of his adult friends. Ended up solving an open burglary in addition to all the vehicle break-ins. Yet because I took that juvenile to the ground, I had to do a use of force report. No strikes, no pepper spray, no taser, gun stayed in the holster. Still, needed to do a use of force report. So Professor Oakes is an expert in policing, can't even think of a situation in which use of force is warranted on a juvenile? It's almost as if the core team have zero police experience. Yet, previous council meetings, it was discussed how she was actually texting members during the meeting. I mean, heck, she might be texting council members right now. And her expert peer, Allison Mickles, who is actually a professor of Middle Eastern anthropology and not policing at all, says that the Bethlehem police use force at a rate X amount of times higher on minorities. And I'd just like to remind everybody the numbers. In 2019, there were 62,000 calls for service. There were only 143 times that force was used. That's 0.002%. And 89 times that force was used is what I just described before, simply taking somebody to the ground. 16 times was just holding, not using, just holding a taser or a firearm. So really, only 38 times out of 62,000 calls was force used beyond taking somebody to the ground. So I find it ironic that Dr. Mickles called our department biased, yet she wrote on her Twitter page, quote, "We don't need police. I'm sorry, we don't, capital N-O, police. We don't need police." The only allegations of excessive force came from specific members of council, and 6 months ago I came to council and requested that you watch the video and see for yourself how professional the officer was. I spoke with former Chief Eluzio and current Chief Cobb, and was advised that the parties who made the allegations never requested to watch the video. 6 months ago. Never apologized, never recanted, and I hope those that are listening understand how disheartening that is. But we don't hold grudges, so I have We Support the Bethlehem Police signs for every member of council, and since I work night shift, if you'd like one, you can wake up to the sign in your yard like the most disappointing Christmas ever. But I digress. I think policing as a whole can be better. Bethlehem has a pretty darn good police department, and still, we must seek self-improvement. As I said before, I can't promise you perfection, but we can always try to be better. At the same time, I spent hours upon hours listening and hearing the voices of minority residents over the last 7 months. And I'm talking about people that have been fighting for civil rights for over 50 years. And young folks, too, have a very different view than previous generation. But listening to all these people of color, the one thing I didn't hear was, we want white folks speaking over us. We want people who use their white privilege to tell the world our thoughts and opinions. And I'll leave you all with this thought. If someone's position is anything other than bringing this community and its police department closer, if they're not trying to find ways to love each other more, and if they're shouting instead of speaking, they're on the wrong side. And lastly, I'd just like to say that to our small business owners in our city, we stand with you. Your success means an economically sound Bethlehem. It means jobs for our residents. So we stand with you and we pray for the health of all of our residents. So thank you for your time, and please do not yell at your council members. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Still accepting comment at 610-997-7963. On any subject not being voted on this evening with a 5-minute time limit. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My name is Greg Ragney. I reside at 2955 Oakland Road. And can I start my comments?
Please proceed, thank you.
Officer Ardello's comments, the speaker who just spoke, demonstrate what a true expert on policing sounds like. Those city council members who are truly interested in standing up for the public safety of Bethlehem should learn to discern the difference between true experts versus political hacks with an ideological axe to grind. We have a lot of people calling council and putting pressure on council who have an ideological axe to grind about policing in Bethlehem. Now, whether their ideas about policing are informed by what happened in Minneapolis or Seattle or Portland, I don't know, but they're not informed by what's happening in the city of Bethlehem, which is what council and the mayor and all those who are interested in the public safety in Bethlehem should be focused on. What policing in Bethlehem is like, not what policing in Seattle or Portland or Minneapolis is like. I just want to thank Officer Odello for his comments. It's nice to hear someone speak facts about Bethlehem policing for a change. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comment. Accepting comment at 610-997-7963. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Yes, hi. I'm calling from the Borderline Family Restaurant in Bethlehem, PA.
Sure, if you could give your name and address for the record and proceed with your comments to council with a 5-minute time limit.
Okay, my name is Christopher Valianatos from the Borderline Family Restaurant in Bethlehem, PA. The reason I'm calling, I was given a call today from the City of Bethlehem Health Department, a lady named Beth, basically saying that she's warning me that she heard that we're open for indoor dining and we're defying the governor of Pennsylvania. And I told her, I says, what do you want us to do? I mean, curbside is not going to pay my bills. And how do I give my waitresses a nice Christmas? I have 27 employees and I have to lay off 22 employees. I mean, my restaurant is COVID-free. I have 6 air purifications in my restaurant. I put plexiglass between the booths. I tested my air from a government-run laboratory in Pennsylvania and proved that my air is 99.1 germ-free. And now they're threatening to take my health license because I'm open for indoor dining? Isn't there something the mayor could do for us? The mayor could overrule this. I talked to Radio Senator Boscola. The mayor could overrule this like they do in the other municipalities. Or the mayor could not worry about this. What can I do as a business owner in Bethlehem? All I do is give. What can I do? I mean, this is threatening to close my business. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Bethlehem City Council's accepting comment on any subject on tonight's agenda or otherwise. If you'd like to make comment to council, the number to do so is 610-997-7963. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Council, the number to do so is
610-997.
Hello.
Good evening. If you could mute your computer in the background.
Sure. Yep.
Thank you. And if you could give your name and address for the record and proceed with your comments to council with a 5-minute time limit.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, so my name is Neville Gardner. I'm the chair of Dunton Bethlehem Association and the owner of McCarthy's Red Stag Bottle Whiskey Bar. I live at 381 Berridge Bridge Road in Bethlehem, PA 18817. And I'm calling regarding the possible relaxation of the open container law in Bethlehem. So like Rachel, and like the caller just before, obviously I can verify that all the restaurants in Bethlehem are going through a really, really, really tough time right now. I personally laid off 3/4 of my staff on Friday, right before Christmas. Pretty painful. I was in tears and I'm not really sure what I can do to fix this, but I can tell you that if you could relax the open container law and allow people to walk around with the drink in Bethlehem, it might help. We're sort of in desperate straits right now. We're kind of in the last legs, and if the state decides to elongate this closure beyond January 4th, I'm not sure what's going to happen. I think a lot of businesses are holding on by the skin of their teeth, and I think anything that the city could do would be helpful. I did read an email today that there might be some possible funding coming through the CARES Act, and that would be fantastic. But I think all of us who have restaurants and retailers in town are all going through probably the toughest time. I've been in business 35 years, and undoubtedly this has been the toughest year ever for my retail business. And in the 17 years that I've been in business as a restaurateur, this is by far the most difficult year. So I would just say that if you think relaxing the container law is not going to help, I would say think again, because I think anything that we can do, anything that the city can do, would be helpful. So I would beseech you, please consider doing this. Someone could walk around with a hot toddy or something with alcohol in it or in town. I don't think it's going to be a situation where people are going to be bombed out drunk. It's not that kind of situation. It's okay at Music Fest to have an open container law. So why wouldn't it be okay in the middle of December or January to do the same thing? So please give this consideration. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak. Thank you.
Thank you. This will be the last opportunity to call in to City Council for comment this evening. Number to do so is 610-997-7963. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Good evening, Mr. Waldron. This is Greg Zahm on East Mercator Road. And I'd like to make a couple quick comments. In the past, I have called in with questions asked, and you probably recall receiving an email or two from me that I sent to the entire council. And I think what I'll do is try to keep it real simple and focus really on one topic. And the budget is up for discussion tonight, the question that I have is that I just haven't been able to determine through the website or through any other sources is what discussion was held by council and what, scientific data was used, as opposed to however well-intentioned the anecdotes that we heard tonight, for example, from Mr. Ragney. I appreciate what professional opinion from a police officer, certainly respect that. I'd like to hear all the resources, though. And, I'd like to know if there was discussion, how much, what data was considered, and if records are kept and if that's available to the public. So that's really all I have to say. I'm trying to keep it as short as possible. If you can take 30 seconds to answer now, that would be great, or to hear something when the budget is discussed or you're preparing to vote for it. I've tried several times, and I realize I've said a lot in those times, so maybe a bit to digest. So thank you very much, and have a good evening.
You as well. Thank you. Accepting comment at 610-997-7963 to City Council on any subject on tonight's agenda or any additional subject with a 5-minute time limit. This will be the last call for anyone who'd like to make comment to City Council this evening. Continuing with our agenda, communications 6A.
I'm
a memorandum from Mark Sivak, Director of Budget and Finance, recommending a contract with PMA Insurance Group for Workers' Compensation Program and Risk Management Services. Term of the contract runs from January 1st, 2021 through December 31st, 2021. Cost is $44,000 for the annual term. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda, Communication 6B.
A zoning amendment overlay request from Penn Technology Consulting, LLC, on behalf of applicant Bethlehem Manor Village, LLC, the owner of a tract located at 1838 Center Street, which is zoned I Institutional. The request was submitted in connection with the proposed construction of a grocery store.
I will accept the motion and a second to schedule a public hearing on the proposed zoning amendment for Tuesday, February 16th, 2021. Seeking a motion?
So moved.
And so moved.
Thank you. Motion by Mr. Callahan.
Second.
Second by Mr. Colon. Clerk, please call the roll of the motion.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. A public hearing has been scheduled for Tuesday, February 16th, 2021 at 7 p.m. The meeting will be virtual. And before we continue with Communication 6C, I realized we had minutes needing approval that I skipped over. So seeking approval for the minutes for October 20th, 2020 and November 4th, 2020. There's no comments or discussion from council. The minutes will stand approved. Thank you. My apologies for that. Moving back to Communication 6C.
A memorandum from Alicia Carner, Director of Community and Economic Development, with an attached resolution authorizing a substantial amendment to the city's 2019 Community Development Block Grant Annual Action Plan in connection with second round CARES Act funding.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6D.
A memorandum from Councilman Brian Callahan with three proposed ordinances amending Article 119, 1701, and 1731, which would enable third-party inspections in the city.
The proposed ordinance will be referred to the Community Development Committee. Communication 6E.
A memorandum from William Leeson, City Solicitor, recommending that the city accept a gift and dedication of real property located at 8 Mechanic Street. The property is described and shown in the memo attachments.
The sale of real estate will be referred to the Public Works Committee for review. Communication 6F.
Memorandum from William Leeson, City Solicitor, recommending that the city accept a gift and dedication of real property currently part of Lehigh Valley Industrial Park 7. The property is described and shown in the memo attachments.
This will also be referred to the Public Works Committee for review. Communication 6G.
A memorandum from Darlene Heller, Director of Planning and Zoning, with an attached proposed zoning text and map amendment related to creating a student housing overlay district. There is also an attached memorandum and proposed resolution from First City Assistant City Solicitor Edward Healy.
We also need to schedule a public hearing as well for the proposed zoning amendment. So seeking a motion and a second to schedule that meeting.
Oh, so moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Groen, second by Mr. Callahan. The clerk would please call the roll of the motion.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. A public hearing has been scheduled for Tuesday, February 2nd, 2021 at 7 p.m. This meeting will also be held virtually. And to note, a related resolution is on the agenda tonight as item 10D. Communication 6H.
A memorandum from Councilwoman Grace Cramsci-Smith with an attached proposed bill establishing a new article of codified ordinances titled Responsible Contracting Procedures.
This will be referred also to the Public Works Committee for review. reports. I have no presidential reports this evening. I'll turn to the mayor.
Thank you, Mr. President. A few points and a few administrative orders. Administrative order number 36, I hereby reappoint Ellen Fosco Johnson, 105 West Langwood Avenue, Bethlehem, to the Fine Arts Commission. This appointment is effective through December 2023.
The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Groen?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. Administrative Order 37. I hereby reappoint Sandra Gillen, 804 Wood Street, Bethlehem, to the Fine Arts Commission. This appointment is effective to December 2023.
Resolution to confirm is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. Administrative Order 38. I hereby appoint Jessica Lee, 627 Cherokee Street, Bethlehem, to the Zoning Hearing Board to fill a position held by Linda Shea Gardner. This appointment is effective through December 2025.
The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Ms. Negron?
Yes, thank you, President Waldron. Mayor Sanchez, I just want to say thank you for making this important appointment. I am so glad to see Jessica Lee in part of the Zoning Hearing Board. That is such an important board, and this is real diversity. So I am glad to support this appointment, and thank you.
Thank you. Clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. Administrative Order 39. I hereby reappoint Kenneth Lausch, 1324 Prospect Avenue, Bethlehem, to the Historic Conservation Commission, South Bethlehem and Mount Airy. This appointment is effective through May 2023.
Resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. Administrative Order number 40. I hereby appoint Mike Simonson, Building Inspector, 10 East Church Street, to the Historic Conservation Commission, South Bethlehem and Mount Airy, to fill the unexpired term of Phil Brader, who is retiring. This appointment is effective through April 2021.
The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. Administrative Order 41. I hereby appoint Barry Cohen, PE, 1057 Powder Mill Road, Bethlehem, to the Codes Boards of Appeals, fill a position held by Brian Ritter. This appointment is effective through December 2023.
The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye.
That's a 7-0.
Thank you. I did issue a press release, which I believe members of the City Council did receive, declaring a snow emergency effective tomorrow, 12 p.m., to allow plowing of snow to the curb on designated city emergency streets. All vehicles need to be removed from the designated streets on Bethlehem snow emergency routes by 12 p.m., December 16, 2020. And the Bethlehem Parking Authority also announced that the North Street, New Street, and Walnut Street parking garages and street meters will be free of charge beginning 12 p.m. Wednesday to accommodate parking needs. Vehicles must be removed from locations within 4 hours when the emergency, and I'll issue a press release on this, will end. Residents are asked not to park on public parking lots due to the need to plow those lots too. An update from Krista Wenrich on some numbers here, and she and her team are just doing an outstanding job. As of today, as of yesterday, total number of cases in the city of Bethlehem, 3,523. Total deaths, 85. Newly admitted to the hospital in the last 7 days, 10. Incidence rate the last 7 days, the city of Bethlehem, 513 per 100,000. This is lower than Lehigh County, which is at 556 per 100,000, and Northampton County, which is at 584 per 100,000. Average age of COVID patients the last 7 days, 37 years old. And the ethnic distribution of COVID cases the last 7 days, we are looking at this carefully, 45% Latino. And the Bethlehem Health Bureau is working with both hospitals and the Allentown Health Department to discuss, in fact, there's a meeting tomorrow to discuss COVID-19, the vaccination coordination. The Bethlehem Health Bureau will mainly be involved in a mass vaccination clinics for the general public in later winter and early spring, but we may receive some vaccines earlier that can be used to vaccinate our first responders. And the city of Bethlehem's health department will be receiving the rapid tests from the Pennsylvania Department of Health. And Bethlehem Health Bureau is in the process of conducting a survey for the community to gauge interest in receiving the vaccine when it is made available. In addition, based on the governor's policy decisions last week, we did close City Hall. City Hall will be closed to the public through January 4th, and employees will continue to assist residents via phone, email, or the city's website. The recycling center will remain open, but it will close because of the snow that is coming. And critical situations, including in-person services provided by the health department, will continue by appointment only. And we did receive, Chief Cott did send the city council to Councilman Reynolds, the memorandum pertaining to the police department's community engagement plan. And that's my report, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll turn to Mr. Reynolds. You have a report this evening as well?
Yes, thank you. The Finance Committee met tonight, Tuesday, December 15th at 6 p.m. in Town Hall. The committee received a presentation from the city's auditors on the audit documents for the year ending December 31st, 2019. I want to thank the administration and the auditors and the members of council that came to hear about the strong financial position the city is in. Thank you.
Controller Mr. Yasso wanted to make a comment this evening as well.
Good evening. I'll be quick. Just wanted to clear something up from Mr. Reynolds' Finance Committee meeting, a question he had earlier. The question posed was the 2020 return for the pension funds, police and fire. Where were we looking year to date? And I estimated, as to not overstate, mid to high single digits. I did reach out to Frank Burnett of Morrison Fiduciary Advisors, who's consultant to the pension board, does an outstanding job. And he's comfortable, he'll give me exact numbers, more exact numbers tomorrow, but he's comfortable for the purposes of answering your question, Mr. Reynolds, with a number of 11%.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Yasso, for that quick work. And just as a reminder, the 20, I believe it was the 2019 number that was included in the audit was 17%. So I think it's a credit to the administration, Mr. Yasso, and the pension board, which I know has representatives from a couple of the unions, Mr. Burnett, for the job well done, because that affects our MMO and our pension and things like that going forward. So thank you, Mr. Yasso.
Moving to ordinances for final passage this evening. Ordinance 8A.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the general fund budget for 2021, Bill 27-2020, is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion? Mr. Reynolds?
Yeah, I would turn to the chief here. I see Chief Cott is with us. I did, in anticipation of the meeting tonight, send a memo to her. And I just wanted to, rather than summarize the memo for her, she is here. So I was hoping that maybe Chief Cott, you might be able to explain your memo a little bit, just to give a little bit of information here to the rest of council and everyone that's listening. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Councilman Reynolds. I, for the sake of the individuals that are listening via YouTube, if you don't mind, if you humor me, I will read the memo and then feel free to ask any questions and I can explain anything in particular. So the memo states, during these divisive times, community police engagement opportunities can genuinely and organically build understanding, trust, confidence, and respect between police agencies and the communities they serve. This correspondence serves as a general outline of the Bethlehem Police Department's plan to engage our community. Through this comprehensive approach that will seek to remove barriers to participation, embrace diversity, and encourage two-way communication, we will strive to identify the community's public safety priorities, build trust, increase understanding, improve satisfaction, and initiate a collaborative effort with community stakeholders towards addressing community issues concerns. The following are some of the measurable actions that will be implemented explored. Community safety surveys to determine past experience with BPD, satisfaction with services, public safety priorities, other community concerns, and open comments. Your neighborhood, your police department events that will be geographically located throughout the city and will provide community members and police officers with in-person engagement opportunities to meet and participate in productive dialogue. Community walks, where a limited number of Bethlehem police officers, including members of the police administration, visit various neighborhoods throughout the city, going door to door to meet or reconnect with residents. Community police forums to provide an outlet for community members and the police to voice concerns, share information, and enhance trust. Understanding that we are in a pandemic, we are going to take the proper measures to reintroduce our citizen and junior police academies that will provide an opportunity to expand community understanding of law enforcement, crime prevention, and public safety. Expand upon our partnerships with other City of Bethlehem departments such as Parks and Recreation and the Health Bureau by participating in joint events that foster positive relationships and build long-term meaningful trust. Partner with community and stakeholder organizations to set up structured and unstructured events, such as listening sessions and focus groups, where community members and officers can share their experiences and perspectives. Explore options that would enable and encourage different officers, not just members of the police administration, to participate in community events. Increase the department's social media presence and utilize these platforms to promote available community resources. As stated above, this is just a general outline that is in no way static. I am interested and open to additional concepts for community police engagement opportunities, and I'm grateful to the officers and the community stakeholders that have already reached out to me with suggestions. By focusing on uniting our community, I am confident that we can improve communication and increase the department's credibility with the public. I look forward to sharing our progress with you. Please feel free to contact me with any questions. Michelle Cott, Chief of Police.
Thank you, Chief. And I just wanted to make a couple of comments here. First of all, my memo had grown out of comments that Chief Cott had made several weeks ago about upon becoming our chief, taking a look at what our department does, things that she thinks we might be able to improve on or put more resources to. And, you know, I've been very impressed, as I think all of us have been, in our private and public conversations with Chief Cott, as far as the understanding she has that she really has an opportunity here, and the department does and the community does, to take a look at what we do. And like I said, see what we do well, what things maybe she thinks should be priorities, what things our community believes should be priorities, and you know, come back to council at some point in 2021 after this process plays out. You know, take a look at our, you know, our level of our training, our, you know, what is it that residents really like about what's going on. Take a look at, you know, we've talked about the pilot before with including social workers, but the reality is that those things take time to find ways to integrate well. So I think that it's important here that, you know, we allow the chief and the department and the administration, the community, to come together in 2021, no matter how long it takes, to come back with us about, you know, any potential changes there. And I think that you know, giving the chief and the leadership in the department as much time as it takes to do what they feel is a comprehensive look at, you know, what the department does is the way we need to go here. Some of the things that I've mentioned to the chief is trying to come up with some metrics as far as how are we going to necessarily see improvement year after year with a lot of things that, you know, we hear are working anecdotally. You know, so there's really a lot that we could talk about. But I guess I would just finish by saying that, you know, when we vote for budgets, a lot of times we talk about all the fixed costs that are in here as far as our personnel and the contracts and debt service and things like that. And I really think that one of the things that I've always been heartened by with everybody within the mayor's administration is their ability to listen to council members and take a look at our priorities. And, you know, several people in city council have talked about what they think should be priorities for different departments throughout the year. And, you know, I just want to say thank you to the chief for responding so thoroughly. And, you know, I'm looking forward to that process. And I really appreciate the fact that you are looking to design a process that will allow different voices to participate in different ways. Some people don't want to come to a meeting. Some people want to be anonymous. Some people want to listen to forums. Some people want to give ideas. So I think that you're right on the mark as far as how to take all of those, all of the different commentary in. So I want to thank the chief for that, and I look forward to working together going into the new year. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Looking for any additional comments on Bill number 27, which is adopting the general fund budget, ordinance 8A. Would be our second reading of this that we had passed previously. Ms. Negron?
Thank you, President Waldron. I'm going to just follow a couple of more comments after Councilman Reynolds mentioned, and I thank you also, Chief Cott, for the response to the request. I think that I'm hoping, I know that you are listening to the callers, and I think that when we were talking about the events in Police Park, I had already a meeting with Deputy Mixel, with Robert Notback and Mr. Eric Evans last Friday, and we were having some conversations about, you know, what are the possibilities of the administration rethinking what it's been doing. So I am hoping, Chief Cott, that you heard at least two of the callers mention something that I think is worth rethinking about it. One, Christopher Storr mentioned, you know, if we're going to have an event and police is going to be required, maybe waiving the cost for small nonprofit events like the one everybody was talking about. But Mary Toulouse said something that I think is brilliant, a much better idea, and might fall under your plan, which is having police officers that are working the beat or that are working that neighborhood to be part of that conversation. I mean, the farmers market, it's a great event. It's a community building event, really. You know, and instead of putting a burden into the organization that is putting this great event together by having to hire a police officer, you know, instead of that, having a police officer that is working that neighborhood to stop by, to visit, to pay a visit, you know, and build community with that community group. So, you know, I think that those are two ideas that I heard, that I listened to, and I think that it will be important as you move forward with your plan and we talk about, or the administration keeps on talking about how to be able to better support these small nonprofit organizations that are doing incredible events throughout the community. So, thank you.
Ms. Kramsey-Smith?
Thank you. I just wanted to say again, thank you, Chief Cott, for all you've done thus far. I know you haven't been in the position that long, but I do have complete confidence that you're going to do a great job, and I think we're going to see a lot of great progressive movements coming in the future. And I know this has been a rough year in many, many ways through the community, especially around the police department. And I'm hoping that we can continue to just enhance and build upon the ideas that you have. I mean, I think one thing that I hope we can do next year is look at the resources we already have, especially resources at the county level, and form greater collaborations with the county. For example, I think with crisis intervention, mental health, developmental disabilities, I think, you know, I think often about the mental health issue is real and growing, but I think we often forget about individuals that have autism and autism spectrum disorder, and the numbers there are increasing rapidly every day. And you know, I see a lot of students that are on the spectrum, and they're teenagers and they're becoming young adults, and unfortunately I know some people who have, you know, had some bad situations and encounters with law enforcement, and I hope that we can form some collaborative efforts, you know, to work together to serve those individuals. So I'm hoping that we can, you know, really have some dialogue in the future and talk about looking at tapping into the existing resources and building upon them. Thank you. The only other thing I wanted to say, and that's, I guess, regarding the budget is, you know, I know I proposed the amendment with my concern about eliminating four firefighter positions, and that did not pass. But I would ask, I think, the administration to take note that we all received an email from, it was from a concerned citizen that was forwarded to Robert Brooks, who is the first vice president of the firefighters logo. And again, I don't know the facts, but some of the information is a little alarming. And it sounds like what concerns me, because again, our public safety, be it policemen, firemen, EMT, whatever, you know, they are the backbone of our community and ensuring that our community is safe. And from this memo, it sounds like there is a lot of dissension within the fire department and with what they're feeling regarding the fire chief at this point. And I would request that the administration sit down and try to broker with those two entities to see if we can try to resolve these issues in this dissension, because as Mr. Brooks knows, that the morale in the fire department is at an all-time low as a result. And we all know that if the morale is low in any department or any entity, that certainly can affect the quality of work. And we're talking about people who are dealing with, you know, life and death safety issues every day. I would be more than willing to help mediate anything that can, you know, that needs to be done, because, you know, I do that every day in many ways at work. So no pun intended, but again, I do feel that it's important that this issue be addressed, because we're looking at a department within our city that is responsible for the safety of our citizens. And if there's morale and a lot of dissension within that department, it needs to be addressed. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ramsey-Smith. Any other comments on Ordinance 8A? Mr. Calhoun?
Thank you, Mr. Waldron. I also echo Councilwoman Grace Cramsey-Smith's comments about the cutting of the four positions from public safety for the fire department.
Because of that, and also a variety of the cuts that I had proposed, I will be voting no against this tonight, along with the lack of the funding that Lehigh University stopped the $100,000 funding of those two inspectors, and the city is now picking up that cost, and because of that, I'll be voting no. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. Anything else before we have our vote? Clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Nay.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith? Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
He's muted.
You're muted.
Aye.
Thank you. Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-1. Ordinance 8B.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the Waterfund Budget for 2021, Bill 28, 2020, is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8C.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the Sewer Fund Budget for 2021, Bill 29, 2020, is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8D.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the Golf Course Fund Enterprise Budget for 2021, Bill 30, 2020, is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8E.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the Liquid Fuel Funds Budget for 2021. Bill 31, 2020 is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8F.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the 2021 Capital Budget for Non-Utilities, Bill 32, 2020, is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8G.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the 2021 Capital Budget for Water Utilities, Bill 33, 2020, is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8G.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the 2020 capital budget for...
Pardon me, 8H.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the 2021 capital budget for sewer utilities. Bill 34, 2020 is sponsored by Mr. Groen and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8I.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the 2021 Community Development Block Grant Budget. Bill 35, 2020 is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8J.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the 2021 Stormwater Fund Budget. Bill 36, 2020, sponsored by Mr. Groen and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8K.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, fixing the tax rate for all city purposes for the year 2021. Bill 37, 2020 is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion, Mr. Colon.
Thank you, President Walter. Just a quick point of reference before we pass the millage rate for 2021. I know we've had long conversations about the tax increase and the state of where the economy is and our small business and things like that. But just to compare how we're doing to our neighbors, I looked up the millage rate for Easton in Northampton County and Allentown in Lehigh County. Now, our Northampton County rate for us here in the city is going to be 19.14 mils, while Easton's holds at 24.95 mils, which is about 29% higher than our millage rate here in the City of Bethlehem. Meanwhile, Allentown's is going to be 7.31 for the city for calendar year 2021, while our millage rate that we're about to vote on is 6.05. That's about a 21%. That's about 21% higher over in Lehigh County on the Allentown side. The point I'm making is we could easily have raised taxes to support some of the to hold on to some of the cuts that are in this year's budget, but it just comes down, and that's not a criticism of these other municipalities when I cite those numbers to bring them up for reference, but it's just about at what point are we comfortable with the taxes that are levied on the, you know, our constituents, the landowners here in the City of Bethlehem, and those who, even the tenants, that the millage rate is just rolled into rents that everybody pays. So I will continue to support this as I have all these other budget amendments, because while it's a balancing act and a challenge, and I know we are raising taxes this year, I still think that as a whole, whether it's through council's work, the administration, the different departments, all the city employees holding the line on expenses, that we are doing a good job by those that we serve here in the City of Bethlehem. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Klon. I appreciate the comparison. It's easy to forget that Bethlehem has consistently, over the years, made some difficult decisions that have put us in a position where we can have a relatively low tax rate compared to some of our neighbors. Any other discussion on Ordinance 8K? Would please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Nay.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-1. Ordinance 8L.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Pennsylvania, establishing a user fee for stormwater collection and management fee. Bill 39-2020 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Ms. Negron?
Is there any updates from the administration after our long conversation last time in terms of any possibilities of making this a more fair share of the rates of the billing or the fee that is going to be charged?
I would turn to the administration to see if they have comments.
Mr. Alcala is on. He'll be more than happy to provide some clarity on that.
Disguise as Mr. Dorn.
Yeah, disguise as Mr. Dorn.
Yes. This is Mike. What we will, we've had some discussions, and one of the ways that we're hoping we can at least in part or in whole address some of your concern, Mr. Groen, is this also has to deal, discussions with Ms. Van Wert as well, and that is to incorporate in the guidelines that we'll be putting forth to council early in 2021, criterias for which we would provide the maximum credit of 50% to homeowners. Right now, what we're contemplating setting those criteria at is some level of household income. That would be, I think, one suggestion was 150% of the poverty level. And also include some criteria for the type of property that we're talking about in terms of imperviousness. We'll set the impervious level at high enough, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,500 square feet, high enough that any typical, even large townhome or would meet that criteria. If those two criteria are met, we would, like I said, provide relief from the fee, a maximum of 50%. And then the last criteria would be that we'd establish a fund in the program, in the enterprise. It'll probably have some kind of a cap on it, at least 20, maybe 30, 40,000 for this program. And the only way we wouldn't grant those reliefs is if there's no surplus at all in the fund at some point, but we probably don't anticipate that happening. We're hoping that sort of thing would provide the opportunity for low-income families, for modest properties, to get 50% relief from the fee. So instead of paying $60, they'd be paying $30 essentially, which is probably lower than if we went to a tier system, for example. I'm not ruling out a tier system in the future. We'll study it further to see if it's something that is that we can pursue as well. But at least this will be in the guidelines in early 2021 to make sure that we're taking into account your concerns as well as Dr. Edwards.
Thank you very much. That's very helpful. I also, the other concern, and I think Dr. Van Wert mentioned it too, that I have is the Bethlehem Housing Authority is within the top 10. And you know, so I'm concerned, and I don't know if Councilman Colon had that conversation with the Bethlehem Housing Authority Board. I mean, how are they going to cover for that new line item in the budget? You know, is it going to go back down to the residents, the poorest people in the city living in residentials, and the same concern with the school district. You know, is it going to raise that school taxes now in order for the school district to be able to pay this new line item? I'm just really concerned at the react, the, what's going to happen to especially these two entities.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Grun. Additional comments from council? Dr. Van Wert?
Thank you. I'm sorry about any audio problems I've been having. I did want to thank the administration for considering these concerns that multiple people in council put forward in terms of the impact on our lowest income residents and the people we really want to encourage to own homes to not add any more burdens to them. And while we still haven't nailed out the details on it, I'm optimistic that we can come to an understanding. The concerns that Councilwoman Negron noted for both the Bethlehem Housing Authority and the schools still stand. I am interested in hearing how these are going to impact, how they're going to pay for it, basically. I think the school may have a bit deeper pockets, but I'm hoping we can find some answers to that. And I would also propose that if we are able to fund this fund generously enough and there's anything left over in the end, that we would consider a more aggressive form of relief such that it would be either or. If a resident, regardless of how much impervious footage they had as a homeowner, was within 150% of the poverty level, that they would be able to just apply for relief regardless of how much impervious surface they had, or if they had less than 500, regardless of what their income was, that they would be able to apply for relief as well. So I think a lot depends on the vigorousness of the response to the relief program within the first year, but I hope we can figure this out as an ordinance, but also get some answers in terms, particularly for the Bethlehem Housing Authority. And I think it was a $52,000 fee that they were going to incur through this ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Denward. Mr. Reynolds?
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to, first of all, I want to thank the administration, thank Councilman Negron and Councilman Van Wert for bringing up this issue, and I appreciate Mr. Alfla doing some research in the past couple of weeks to try to come back with an answer. And I think it hits at a bigger thing that I was going to say about the budget, and that's that I appreciate my colleagues on council, and I think if you went, I mean, Councilman Negron has talked about some of her ideas about police overtime. Dr. Van Wert has brought up some things about the service center. Councilman Cramsey Smith brought up some different things as far as the firefighter staffing is concerned. But at the end of the day, we understand that we need a budget, and that we have promises to keep, and we have services to provide. And even though each one of us could probably go around and say, I don't like this in the budget, or I don't want this in the budget, that we understand that whatever minor concerns we might have doesn't mean that we should be voting against the whole budget. Because if we all decided, because we don't like one particular thing and didn't want to vote for it, then we would be stuck in the spot where nobody is going to vote for the budget. No council person delivered any amendments that would have reduced the tax increase, which I think is important to state here. And, you know, this the management user fee ordinance that we're talking about here is, as we've talked about before multiple times, is something by which the federal government has basically told municipalities, you need to do something about. And we don't get to decide, oh, we don't want to do that, and avoid the consequences and the ramifications of that. And that's why, for those of us that attended our auto meeting before, we are in a strong financial position. And I appreciate Mr. Colon looking up those other budgets as well, because it doesn't, I mean, we read the articles in the newspaper and we look at what goes on with other budgets, and we see, you know, other municipalities, their questions about, are these numbers real as far as our revenue expectations are concerned? Do we really think we can save money here? And year after year after year, we read these audits where our numbers come in pretty close as far as our revenues and expenditures are concerned. And that doesn't happen by us being irresponsible. And I think that what this budget does is it keeps our promises to our employees, to our citizens, and the stormwater collection management user fee is another example of something that takes explanation, but at the same time, it's good public policy, and it's why Bethlehem is the place it is, because people that serve the city are responsible. Thank you, Mr. Walker.
Mr. Claw?
Thank you, President Waldron. Just two brief things. First, to Councilwoman Ingram's point, I've had unrelated recent conversations with the Housing Authority Executive Director, Mr. Jay Schuster, but this hasn't come up as a concern of his, or honestly a question that I had at the time that we haven't been able to speak in the last few weeks, but if I am able to get some feedback from him, I would gladly share that with Council at a future meeting on the Bethlehem Housing Authority's position on this fee being added to their budget. But I haven't heard anything in the negative, nor the positive either. And then second, to my last agenda item point, our neighbors were the last to institute this fee also, as this is something that both Allentown and Easton have already incorporated previously for each of their municipalities. So again, we're adding on to something that we've already been mandated to do, but we are by no means the first to bring this kind of program forward in our municipality here in the Valley. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Claw. Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Thank you. I'll keep it brief. I just wanted to say I did follow up with Mr. Alcall after our meeting where I brought up the tiered system that they do in Carlisle, and he did assure me that he will definitely do something, and I'm glad, you know, he talked about doing the credit, and still he had said, as he said tonight, he still is going to even look at maybe the tier system. So I had said I would support this as long as we're definitely going to look at a way that we can give relief to those that would be a hardship for. So thank you to Mr. Alcock for looking into it. I know it does concern me that it's another fee we have to add at a time when it probably things are most economically difficult for people, and it's going to continue to be that way for a while. But I know on the flip side that this has been something that has been in the works for some time, I believe maybe even up to 2 years, and it needs to happen. And as Mr. Colon said, it has already happened in other municipalities, so it's like we really can't put it off. It's just unfortunate with the timing, but I'm grateful and hopeful that we'll get some kind of more equitable system for those that it is a hardship for. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Any other comments on Ordinance 8L? Ms. Negron?
Thank you, President Waldron. I just want to say, first of all, thank you to Councilwoman Gramsci Smith for following up with Mr. Alcock and you know, making sure that this is going to happen. This is, and I know you're very passionate about this, you know, and I know that this needs to be done, and I'm not saying I'm going to vote against it. It needs to be done. It's a mandate, and we have to do it. My only point is that it has to be fair. You know, it's not the same that I will have to pay $60 in a household with two individuals working full-time when most of my neighbors, most of the people in this block, and their 32 homes, are in a fixed income, are elderly in a fixed income. It's gonna be harder for them to add $60. And I think all I'm saying is we need to think in a more fair way for those, my neighbors, you know. I will have no problem paying the $60, but my neighbors will be struggling, and there are others in worse conditions. So I think that we just need, yeah, and I will gladly pay $100 instead of $60, so my neighbors will have to pay $60. That's what I mean. And that's what the tiers that Councilwoman Gramsci Smith mentioned. I thought it's that's really the fair part, where because those of us that are able to, and I'm sure all of you here sitting in council, will gladly pay a little more so that your next door neighbors that are in fixed income can not pay anything or pay much less. That's my push in here. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Obviously, I think this is a hard one to swallow here comparatively to what we have. Anytime you're creating a new user fee, it comes from a place where once we had nothing and now we have a fee that's put on top of the typical tax that you see in the city, but this is something that we should have had and could have had because we have a large cost in the city, which is handling and treating the stormwater runoff that happens. And unfortunately, there's no way to do that without a designated fee that helps to mitigate what is dictated to us by the state and by the government. So, I imagine everyone on council is not happy about the need to do this. It's something that we need to pass. It's responsible that we do pass it, and I think the administration has done their best to try to make it as fair as possible. While I do definitely agree with Ms. Negron that there might be some adjustments that can be made to make a little more equitable to those who most need the assistance, I will support it this evening, but hope that we can continue these conversations to the first quarter in order to maybe revisit this and maybe make a few changes that would feel a little better, knowing that we can support the people who need it the most in our city. Any other comments on Ordinance 8L? Mr. Callahan?
Thank you, President Walden. I don't often agree with Councilwoman Negron, but I do on this topic, and I just feel that we keep on adding fees and taxes, and taxes are going up 5%, fees are going up. We're creating a tax on the rainwater. I know it's a mandated thing, but at some point we can't keep adding taxes and fees and taxes and fees, and then also spending $40,000 on a luxury a bridge in over to Lehigh. I propose over $300,000 in cuts to the community and economic development department in trying to remove or tighten up that department. That's the only department that's grown in the last 6 years. And I think if we would have, it's probably the only department that we can privatize and not miss a beat. We're already doing it, according to Ms. Carner. We're already using a third party system, where we, farm out some projects. And, I think that could be done on a more regular basis. And I'm looking forward to the discussion in the, in the new year, when we talk about, the amendments that I have proposed. Lehigh University cut the $100,000, and that was not even brought up until late, into the discussion.
Mr. Callahan, did you have comments related to the stormwater fee that we were discussing? Because these are the same comments that you gave earlier this evening.
Yeah, I'll make it simple. I'm voting against this. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. I wouldn't say that you always disagree with Ms. Negron. You both voted in support of the non-utility capital fund this evening, which did have the feasibility study for the bridge in it, so you did both support that this evening. I think that's a good thing as well.
I was well aware of it, but I know how the loss was there. I read the writing on the wall, Mr. Walden, and I know what I voted for. Thank you.
Well, if the loss was there, I don't see why you would vote 6-1 on everything else this evening.
Well, in response to your comments, I have told you and everybody else on council, I am for the pedestrian bridge 2 years ago. I voted for it 2 years ago. I voted for it a year ago. I'm not in favor of it right now because I think that the timing is just totally incorrect. I don't know how anybody can vote for a tax increase. I know I see Ms. Van Wert there smiling at I think she thinks it's no big deal that we're raising taxes on people again. But raising taxes $5,000. I promise you, next year at this time, we're going to be looking at another tax increase, probably the same amount. So I'm not in favor of the not only the tax rate or the general fund budget, but I'm also not in favor of the stormwater fee. So thank you very much.
Understood. Any other discussion on Ordinance 8L? Mr. Reynolds?
I would just like to point out again that, as we talked about last week or whenever we had that last budget hearing, is that Mr. Callahan's inspection amendments weren't going to do anything to the tax increase. So it's a situation that, as I said, nobody offered any amendments. Nobody on city council offered one amendment having to do with the tax, having to do with lowering the tax increase. And it's nobody had another plan by which to do anything else. And the only plans that came forward would actually have been more irresponsible as far as moving money away from cash reserves, which I know we decided not to do. So I would just, I would also say that, you know, if the, I would just add and echo Mr. Waldron's comments that if it was a situation where he didn't want to vote for the non-utility capital budget because he knew the bridge was in there, he didn't want to lose that, I'm not sure why it would be a general fund budget and tax increase situation. And once again, I go back to my point I made, is that like all of us have something in this budget that we don't necessarily agree with. But if all of us decided to do that same thing and say, I'm not voting for this because it has this in here, we wouldn't have a budget and we would have serious problems. But that's why we're responsible. Thank you.
Mr. Callahan?
I think I understand what Mr. Reynolds is saying. I agree with him. I think if everybody had a backbone and held tight to the things that they believe in and the cuts that they believe in, there would have, that would force compromise. And in some of these things and some of these cuts would get done. I think the, I've been on the record that Community and Economic Development Department is overbloated. And it's the one department we've had so many issues with. Dr. Van Wert and Ms. Negron, you've had issues with that department and some of the things that they, the huge mistakes that they've made. And I think it's time that someone looks at that department a little bit closer. And I've tried to cut at least four positions from that. I don't know how you can say cutting those four positions wouldn't have lowered the you know, the budget. I'm not sure it would have made that much of a dent in the tax increase, but it would have definitely lowered the budget. I mean, if you're going to tell me cutting four inspectors doesn't do anything, then why are we cutting four you know, public safety firemen? You know, it's somewhere along the line we got to start making cuts, and somewhere along the line we got to start looking at economic development and not being so nitpicky on every economic development project that comes through. Every time, I mean, if you look at that Benner project, we had four meetings. Our first meeting was over the community garden. That was a four-hour meeting over a piece of property.
Mr. Callahan, if we could try to... I understand we're getting a little bit off track here as far as what we're discussing.
You allowed Mr. Reynolds. You know, I know you disagree with my comments. But I think when it comes to a budgetary process, I think I'm allowed to make comments.
Sure. Related to the bill at hand, and I did afford you and Mr. Reynolds the luxury of making some comments that were not related to this. And
right.
If you have additional comments, new business might be the more appropriate time to do that.
For an extra couple minutes, please.
I think that I've been pretty clear and pretty lenient on the fact that we've allowed you and Mr. Reynolds to both have comments outside of the bill at hand. And I think at this point, to just go back and forth isn't productive to what the ordinance is that is in front of us. And if you want to have additional comments, I would be glad to offer that under new business.
I'll bring it up under new business. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you. The clerk would please call the roll on ordinance 8L.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Nay.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-1. We have no new ordinances for consideration this evening. Moving to resolutions, resolution 10A.
Now therefore be it resolved that the Council of the City of Bethel, Northampton County, Pennsylvania, in accordance with municipal records, manual hereby authorizes destruction of Community and Economic Development Department records. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Walder.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Walder?
Aye. Passes 7-0 for resolution 10B.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute a contract or an amendment with PMA Insurance Group for workers' compensation and risk management services. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Groen?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Walder?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Bethlehem that the CDBG Action Plan for fiscal year 2019 for the City of Bethlehem for the period from January 1st, 2019 to December 31st, 2019 is hereby approved. That the Mayor and the City of Bethlehem is authorized to provide the necessary assurances and certifications to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development and to submit the fiscal year 2019 action plan for HUD approval. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Mr. Reynolds?
Thank you. I see Ms. Kerner is on the call. I would just turn to her for a little introduction and conversation here about what is in front of us. And, you know, I think we all saw the press release today with the email. So maybe you could just explain a little bit about what we're looking at here, how you're planning to move forward and things like that.
Sure. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Okay. So if you recall, earlier this year, we received our first round of CARES Act funding. It was about $796,000, slightly over that, and we had programmed into a couple of broad categories, including business assistance, housing assistance, homelessness support, nonprofit support, and then the administration dollars that we generally take for projects. This round is programming approximately $650,000. We had put the bulk of those funds into business assistance. You can see the breakout on the memo that was provided to you as part of the communication. We had taken the input of council at a previous finance committee meeting and really heard the call to assist our businesses in operational support or helping with rental, their payroll and rental assistance and so forth. And then we also put additional funds into housing assistance, which is where we put the bulk of the money the first time around. And so what we wanted to do was let the businesses know with the release of that press release today on the heels of the latest shutdown that there is help from the city on its way. Now, that's presuming support from council this evening and support from HUD. We do have to submit it for their approval, but we have sought approval for this kind of program before and received it, and so we're very optimistic that we'll have HUD support to be able to run the grant program this time around as well.
And do you have a sense of when, if we approve this tonight, and I know you can't speak for HUD approval, just a general guess or estimate about when those applications are going to be available for businesses?
Well, we'll try to get the applications out. We're in the process of having them translated as early as we possibly can, even in advance of HUD approval. HUD has turned things around very quickly with the holidays and the year end. I don't want to make any commitments, but a simplified application process is one I think we feel confident that we can put out to the community and start to evaluate the responses even in advance of having, you know, all the official approvals in place.
Thank you. I think it's great, and I think that, you know, obviously a lot of us have looked at, you know, the fact that more of that $1.3 billion that the state had went into their budget that didn't get passed down to the counties and the cities. But I think that, you know, any time we can provide a pot of money here, it's a real good thing, and I think that, you know, businesses are certainly going to appreciate it. I also appreciate, you know, when I seen it come through last week on the agenda, I give me a call because I heard from, you know, in the last rounds, unfortunately, people's ability to get this money oftentimes has come down to how quick are you checking your email, how quick are you responding, how quick are you getting grant applications, and, you know, the life of a small business owner right now is pretty crazy. So I appreciate the fact that you had included in the press release there and in the statement there from the mayor, that you're going to try to find ways to diversify these funds, that you're going to try to find ways to, you know, and the fact that, you know, we're providing a translation of it, I think is great. But I also think that anything that we can do through that application process to make sure that businesses in every part of our city that are helped out by this. And I, you know, I'm not sure if you've given any thought to how we're going to practically be able to do that. But focusing on those businesses that, you know, may have not had an opportunity because of a language barrier or they don't have somebody watching this stuff all the time, I think is an issue of equity here. I don't think it should be just a situation of if you have somebody that is watching this and get the application because they don't have something else to do for an hour, that they should always get the money first. I don't think that's the fair way to do this. So I appreciate that was in there, and I look forward to seeing that put in place practically.
Ms. Negro?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, President Waldron. So, Ms. Turner, so you're not going to use the same application that you used in the first round?
So,
because I know you had it in Spanish already.
We did. There's a slight difference. We were so early when we released the prior round of funding, we actually used program income, and the way we distributed the funds were slightly different. And okay. So we've added questions. So we were really geared towards supporting businesses that were either employing low-income individuals or businesses that were owned by low-income individuals. And so this time around, there's been some changes because of the waiver process with HUD and some of the things that they're now allowing us to do. We've taken that opportunity to modify the application. We'll be asking some of the questions related to minority business ownership, and that was not included the first time around. So yes, we did need to change the application a little bit based on the way the rounds are funded. And I'd like to introduce Tina Roseberry. Tina is the administrator. I know not all of you have the opportunity to meet Tina, but Tina, is there anything you would like to add related to that change in the application process?
Hi, everyone. Thanks, Alicia. So the application process, number one, will be translated in both Spanish and English. Another positive point would be applying online and a fillable form, trying to be as quick and easy as we can about that. And like Alicia said, that we will be instituting some of our priorities in there. Not that that is exclusionary in any way, but I think somebody on the line did talk about, kind of equity, what's happening through the city. So the location of that, I'm hoping to kind of map it on a dot map kind of thing with GIS so we could kind of see the who all is applying, from what areas of the city are they applying. I think that is good for us to know too, measurement wise, whenever we're kind of reporting out on our successes. And then the last part, I think, is somebody early on said, what's the difference between the two applications? And the other one was a grant that was forgivable, whereas if this is, and so it became kind of like a lien, and that had its complications. So we're totally making it so much easier to take a hold of this money. It would just be purely on a grant format, and they give us what they need. Filling out the application, we'll make some decisions in-house and then keep reporting back to you on how things are going.
Great, thank you. I appreciate that. And I just want to let you know, you might already know this, obviously, but CADCB has been helping businesses doing the applications, and so has, and I already sent the information to NCC, the Southside, the Calder campus, because they have a business program, and so the small business program that Lehigh University has, Ismael Arcelai is there, and I sent the information to both of them, and I know that they've been trying, you know, their best, especially among the Latino business owners, so that, because they don't have the time or the knowledge of the computer or the language, to aside of what the other business owners have.
So I appreciate that, and I hope that you stay in close contact, which I'm sure you are, with those three entities in the South Side that are trying to pass information and help those businesses. Thank you very much, ladies.
Thank you. Any other comments on Resolution 10C, the CARES Act related resolution? Seeing none, the clerk would please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10D.
Now therefore be resolved by the authority of the City Council of the City of Bethlehem that Exhibit A, which is the proposed ordinance and communication 6G, that's a student housing overlay ordinance, is declared as of December 31st, 2020 to be a pending ordinance of the City of Bethlehem. Beginning December 31st, 2020, the administration may deny applications for zoning permits and requests for certificates of occupancy and other relief under the zoning ordinance and building permits for any new use or structure which would be conducted or erected in a manner inconsistent with the provisions of the ordinance. Prior to formal enactment of the said pending ordinance, City Council shall consider all comments and recommendations from the City Planning Commission, the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, and members of the public obtained in a manner required by the municipality's planning code. The City Clerk is directed to advertise the ordinance in the manner required by the municipality's planning code and the substance of this resolution. This is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion on Resolution 10D. I would turn back to Ms. Carner maybe just for the differential in discussion. Here we are with how this pairs and moves parallel to the ordinance that we'll be discussing come next year.
I'm actually going to lead on that. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. I'll just for a little bit of background on that, I mean, I think you're all familiar with the student housing overlay zoning amendment that we are moving forward with. We had it before the Planning Commission in August. They had some minor revisions. We reviewed it with you at a whole meeting in late October. We reviewed all those revisions. There was a couple of weeks of comment period after that. We really didn't receive any comments from any council members. And so we moved ahead with consolidating the comments that we did receive from the Planning Commission. We took it back to them recently for their support. And you read into the record the ordinance instead of public hearing date. You're familiar with zoning amendments. They do take some time, so there'll be the public hearing and then a couple of ordinance readings after that. But in the meantime, we thought it would be helpful to us if we set a clear, defined date in which the ordinance would become effective. And so the pending ordinance resolution that you have in front of you announces that December 31st would be the date that would require that any student housing would have to comply with the new amendment from January 1st onward, anytime in 2021. So it gives us a clear date to work with. There's no confusion. It's helpful to have the resolution in place. You've done this before. You did it for short-term lodging and for other zoning amendments in the past. So we're just asking that you pass the resolution so that the ordinance amendment can run its course.
Understood. Thank you for that clarification. Obviously, we'll have a much broader conversation about the ordinance come our public hearing and then the readings. There'll be potential for council members to offer amendments, and we can get back into that discussion. Obviously, the intention of your committee, the whole meeting, was to try to hash out some of those details before we go down that road, but
we just want to make sure there was some consensus on the amendments that were proposing.
Well, until you
it
hold,
seemed like there were at the time.
Well, yeah, but until you hold our feet to the fire and make us actually vote on it, then people's minds might get changed. When you ask for that soft vote of no comment, that's a different thing. That's easier to commit to. So are there any other discussions or questions from members of comments? Members of council, pardon me. Ms. Negron?
Thank you, President Waldron. I just want to say thank you to one of my favorite residents of the south side of Bethlehem, Anna Smith, for championing this for so long and for having the patience to drag through it and dragging the community along with and the administration. You guys have done excellent. I mean, I right now I'm thinking of Stephen Antalik, you know, every council meeting that he came to say, you know, do something, you know. And of course, because I lived in the south side for so long, you know, I was seeing it every day, and we need to stop this. And this is just one move in the right direction. I'm looking forward for all the changes, not just with this resolution, but with the ordinance. Thank you again.
Thank you, Ms. Grun. Ms. Gramsci Smith.
I'll be brief, but again, I want to say thank you to Mrs. Heller and Ms. Heller and Carner for all your work, because I think this is really something that is very necessary. It's hopefully will help to save the south side and enhance it even further. Thank you so much. This is vital.
The clerk would call the roll on resolution 10D.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 9, I think that was, or 7-0. To West Market Street. Cool. Resolution 10E.
Certificate of Appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 2 West Market Street to replace existing copper and slate roofing and replace existing gutters. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron? Mr. Grohl?
Aye. I said aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. That concludes our agenda for the year. Is there any new business for members of council? Mr. Callahan?
Thank you, Mr. Waldron. I had asked and sent a letter about a day and a half prior to the governor closing things down again. I understand where the governor is coming from, but I had received probably 3 or 4 phone calls from businesses and restaurants on Main and Broad Street. One of them called tonight and explained to all of you, you know, the direness that they're in right now due to the COVID. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not blaming the governor. I'm not blaming the mayor, but I'm asking for support to suspend the open container laws in our downtown business districts indefinitely until a later date when we as a council can make a determination that the effects on the business are the effects on businesses from COVID-19 is passed. COVID is on the rise and our indoor activity is restricted. We need to find a way to help our restaurants and small businesses thrive not only during the Christmas season but for the foreseeable future. Restaurants and small businesses are at the heart of success here in Bethlehem, and we need to do all we can to help them. The governor has understandably taken steps to help mitigate the spread of COVID-19 by restricting indoor activity due to proximity and inside of restaurants. The least we can do is give restaurants as much opportunity outdoors as we can to help them be successful. And I'm just asking that we do have the power to relax that. I think it's something that we can do. I think if, you know, the mayor sent out a little confusing memo today. I don't know what he was talking about, but you know, He said in one of his sentences, it's questionable and debatable whether the proposal would actually even help the businesses. And I think if you listen to the two business owners that are on Main Street and Broad, and their longtime businesses, alcohol is their largest profit margin. And because they are not allowed to have people inside of the restaurant right now, and all they're allowed to do is basically sell food, right now it's legal for them to sell alcohol to go. So they can sell alcohol to go, and they're making a little bit of money that way. But for everybody that's downtown, I think we all agree that we want people to be outside still, right? And I think as long as the majority of people are outside, they're not indoor, they're not inside dining, I think this is a very small thing. Is it going to solve all their problems? No. But I think it could generate enough money for them to survive the winter. And that's all I'm asking, is that we try to find some way. I had a discussion with Councilwoman Grace Cramsey Smith today, we have to find some way to help these businesses survive this. It's no one's fault, but it's our job to try to alleviate some of the pain so they do survive. Because as some of them said to me on the phone in the last couple of days, they will not survive the existing conditions through February. And we're talking about some of the best restaurants that have been around for 15, 20 years. And if they close, it's going to be a shame, and we're going to have a hole, in the city. And I think it's going to affect us. And I'm very, very concerned about some of these restaurants being able to make it. And I think this is the least we can do to try to help them make it through the next couple months until the vaccine is distributed to everybody and this disaster of a virus is solved. And I think one of the ways we can do that is by helping them sell alcoholic beverages to people that can walk around the street and talk and hopefully on nice weather days enjoy some of the benefits of Main Street and Broad Street in the historic Bethlehem district. So I would simply ask that council members consider this, and that I don't know if I have to make a motion, Mr. Spurk, to try to put this on. I would like to get this resolved tonight if possible. I don't know if that's legally possible, but these businesses are really hurting right now. And I think if you listen to Mr. Gardner, who called tonight, and the owner of the Apollo, they are probably our most successful businesses in the historic district as far as long-term popular restaurants and very successful. And if they're hurting, everybody else is hurting. And I think I applaud the mayor for the parklets. That was one great step. But with everybody being forced to not dine in anymore, I think this is the least we can do. It's their highest profit margin center in the restaurant business, and I think I think it would help. I totally disagree with the mayor that it wouldn't. When it comes to this, I trust the word and the professionalism and expertise of the actual owners of the businesses that say it would help. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cowan. Is there any other new business from members of council?
Can I ask Mr. Spurk if there's something that we could do as of now to have a vote on this? Is it possible to have a vote on it now?
I believe it's got to be in writing, so I think it would have had to have been something that came on a communication to be voted on tonight. I think to vote on something, it's got to be in writing. I didn't understand that you were looking for a vote. I thought you were merely seeking to get expressions of encouragement to have the mayor take a certain action. But I believe you would need something in writing to vote on.
I had sent a formal memo to the mayor and council probably about 3-4 days ago, and probably about an hour and a half before the council meeting, I got the letter from the mayor saying he wasn't in support of it. So it kind of put me in a bind, and I'm not sure. Listen, if it's not the will of council to help out the downtown businesses, I understand. But if it's something that we could do now, in accept the letter that I sent to council a few days ago as the written declaration, I don't know. I just I think during these the next 2 weeks before we meet again are crucial time when there's going to be a lot of people walking around the downtown historic district shopping, I hope. But I mean, I'll leave it up to the rest of council on whether they want to you know, I would like to have this discussed and possibly passed tonight, or just have a show of unity on council to ask the mayor to you know, suspend the open container. The governor controls, the LCB controls the inside of it. They are allowed, according to the LCB right now, to sell alcohol for the customers to take home in their car with them. I think it'd be, you know, if they're allowed to do that, I don't see why we wouldn't allow people to responsibly walk around the downtown historic district with a beverage, and that could possibly help the restaurants with sales. So I don't know if there needs to be a second or any other discussion on it, but if there isn't, I will take it as, you know, that you're not interested. So, but I would ask for consideration, not for me, but for the business owners. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. I think everyone, I know everyone on council supports our downtowns and our small business owners. And if there's anything that we can do to help those businesses survive a very challenging time, I think we would do that. Obviously, there's some question about the legality based on the memo that we received at 10 a.m. this morning from the administration. The administration solicitor, I'm sure, weighed in on the possibility of whether that's happening. So if it's an option of changing our ordinance, that would require a written change and a motion and a second. And that's not something that, to change an ordinance, we can do under new business in one evening. But I think it's important to hear from the administration about how something like this could change and what the process would be based on a legal perspective, not just what the will of council would be. If there's anything that we can do to snap our fingers to support our downtowns, you have my support with that. But there are legal issues at hand here. So I think Mr. Donches would like to weigh in.
Mr. President, I think you said exactly what Mr. Lisa and I discussed. I mean, first of all, let me be very clear. I think I, along this, with my administration, have done everything possible to help the small businesses and the restaurants on the north side and the south side, with the parklets and planters, with the support of City Council, and with CDBG money and the county money. We've done everything possible to assist them. On this issue, there's reservations about legalities and precedent, and Music Fest is a little different time. There's use permits, etc., and that's the reason for the memo.
Mr. Callahan?
Mayor, I would just ask that you reach out to the DBA. I know that we have multiple events outside of Music Fest. We have Celtic Fest. We have Harvest Fest. We've had Italian Fest. We've had numerous festivals up there where it was where it is permissible to have an open container on the Main Street and also in the Broad Street area. I think a few years ago, they also had a beef cook-off on Broad Street where it was closed down and an open container was allowed. I don't know the legalities as Mr. Leeson does, and I'm sure I take his word on it, but I would appreciate it if you could reach out to the DBA and possibly Mr. Leeson and find out the quickest way that we could possibly get this done. I mean, I'm going to assume from everybody else, not making any negative comments about it, that everybody's in favor of it. If that's not true, I apologize. But if there's anything we can do in the next couple days, this is the busy time of the year where they generally make their profit for the year, and now they're going to be making nothing. And I would appreciate it if you could reach out to the DBA and the restaurant owners and the business owners to see what we could do to fast track this, if possible. Thank you for your consideration.
Is there any other new business, Ms. Kramsey-Smith?
Thank you. This is a difficult situation, and I do agree, and I know President Walter was correct. We all certainly want to do everything we can, and I think that we have and the city administration have done what we could to help the businesses, and I wish I had a magic wand to help them, but I think, again, if we can look at maybe the chamber and the EPA, and I'll reach out to them again. I don't know if there's anything we can do, like some kind of winter carnival sometime, toward the middle or end of January or something, just to give them a boost, but I don't know, what's going to help them. So the only thing lastly I wanted to say is it's been a full year since my first full year on council. And I'd say, in the words of Jerry Garcia, what a long, strange trip it has been this year. But I do want to say thank you to my fellow council people and the administration, and especially Robert and Judy and Mr. Spurk for all of your help. I really value all the help that you have given me. And I really hope that everybody has a happy holidays and a much healthier and a much happier 2021 than 2020 has been. And I look back and I think of this last year, 10 months of the last 12 months have been very, very difficult for probably most, if not all of us, due to the COVID virus. And I'm sure I speak on behalf of all of us when I say that our thoughts of comfort and healing go out to all those who have lost loved ones with the virus, and the many, many hundreds of people just in our community who are suffering and fighting the virus now. I know I have some people in my own family and friends that it just hit over the weekend, and it's just very scary, and I hope that we'll all be very safe and look out to be considerate of each other. And I guess I just think that it's suitable that perhaps we have just a moment of silence as we end our meeting for all those people within our community that we lost to COVID this year. I think it was like 85. So I would just propose that we just have a moment of silence for all those that we lost from Bethlehem to COVID.
I think that is a fitting idea, Ms. Kramsey-Smith. And after we conclude new business for members of council, I would think that'd be a great way to end our year. Ms. Negron?
Thank you. Yes, thank you, President Waldron. I just want to say, I know that a lot of the festivals and events require special events. Permits, and I did that myself with the Puerto Rican Parade and Festival. So I remember that part of the permit, I had to send the LCP a map of the area that I was going to have the music and the alcohol allowed, and that was the only part that it was allowed. And I understand that, and there's a lot of reasons for that. And so it happens with all the other festivals. However, with Music Fest, it's not quite the same. I know it's a totally different animal with millions of people, but they have permits in the south and the north side, and they have turned LCP the sites where people will be selling alcohol. But we all know that people walk the bridge north and south all day long, all week long, with the Music Fest beer mug. I'm playing devil's advocate here, but I think that we have many times in different circumstances looked the other way. So I don't know if this is something that we should really rethink about, especially in the downtown, whether it's downtown Main and Broad or downtown Third Street. But I think that we should really, I hope the administration does think about this again. And to close again, I also want to say Merry Christmas to all of you. I hope you get through this break between the snowstorm and COVID safe and sound. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, everybody.
Thank you. Mr. Kwan?
Thank you, President Waldron. Just echoing the other comments of other members of council, I don't know what it would look like in terms of a use permit agreement to have a defined event or anything like that, but I would definitely support some sort of, even if it's incremental in terms of the boost to the business it would do, it's something that, you know, I'm not a restaurateur, I don't have background in the restaurant business, but I don't have to be to know that their margins are always super, super thin. And to Mr. Callahan's point, that their biggest profit margins being on the sales of alcohol. And a question that I had for myself the other day, and I don't have the answer to this next time I have a chance to speak to other business owners, is if they're paying any kind of annual fees for the sale of alcohol, and now they're not able to sell as much, that's another potential strike against them as it comes to operating their business. But again, whether it be some kind of downtown festival, a Councilwoman Cramsey Smith alluded to, that the DBA would come to us with a use permit agreement or whatever it would be, I would definitely be in support of some kind of, I don't know if it would be blanketed citywide covering all four corners of the city, but to support the downtown businesses that are really struggling right now. I think it'd be a good idea, and it can't hurt to try something to give them a little boost during this time. And I'll conclude with simply also wishing everyone a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, hoping everyone has a nice time with their family or anyone who separated from their family during this time, whether on council or I'm sure the dozens of people listening at home. Hope everyone's able to make the best of this holiday season.
Thank you, Mr. Klum. Any other comments or new business from members of council? Seeing none, I would just say thank you, everyone, for a very interesting year on council here, working through all the issues that we've had. I'm not sure that when we were in January and we were having discussions about who was going to be council president, I knew we'd end up here. And Ms. Negron, if you want to trade spots with me for 2021, I can stay home and you can come in here and punch in on the speakerphone a little bit, see how you But thank you everybody for working through some of these technological hiccups, as well as being flexible with your schedules and what's been asked of you as the elected representatives for the city, not just for council and our support staff that we have, but as well as all the administration and frankly all the city employees who have had to do a little bit more and been asked to do their job in a very different way. This pandemic has affected everyone throughout 2020 and will continue to do so. I think the intention is that we try to return to normal as soon as possible when it's safe to do so, but we've got a long way to go, and as a city I think we need to work together in order to try to support those who most need it. I think Ms. Cramsey Smith also had an excellent idea that we do remember the people that we lost. And if there's no other comments or new business from members of council, I think ending our last meeting of 2021, now that we've adapted our 2021 budget to finish out 2020 with a moment of silence for those people, about 85 people that we lost in the city of Bethlehem. Unfortunately, that probably won't be the last that we lose due to this pandemic that we're all experiencing. So thank you all. Have a good holiday and a happy new year, and we'll see you again in January. Thank you. This meeting is adjourned.